This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill
from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
Tony Bursky, thanks for joining us. We're now up to segment two of day number five, testimony in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's go to the courtroom.
Okay, we're back on the record on CR 22211624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. The state's continuing with its case in chief presentation. Ms. Smith, if you'd like to call your next witness, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. The state will call Zulema Pastenis.
Very well.
Swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
All right, thank you if you follow. All right, before we get started here, I'll first advise you, Ms. Pastenis, to please make verbal responses to any questions so that we can keep a clear record. Please try to avoid speaking at the same time as anyone that's questioning you. And then I did want to inquire as to whether or not you have watched any of the testimony in this trial, either at a viewing location or in court or on the news or in the internet or anywhere.
No, sir.
You have not watched anything?
No.
Okay, thank you for that. With that in mind then, Ms. Smith, you can inquire.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, please introduce yourself to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury and spell your last name.
My name is Zulema Pastenis. P-A-S-T-E-N-E-S.
Okay. Ma'am, where do you live?
In Gilbert, Arizona.
Okay. Do you have any family?
Yes, I have three children.
Okay. Do you know someone by the name of Lori Vallow, now Lori Vallow Daybill?
Yes.
Okay. How do you know that person?
I met her in 2018.
Okay. What time of year was it?
Fall.
Okay. Early fall, late fall, before Halloween or after Halloween?
Early fall.
Okay. Where did you meet her?
I met her at Melanie Gibbs' house. Melanie was having some meetings at her house, she invited me to come and see Lori speak at that meeting.
Okay. And where was Melanie Gibbs' home at that time?
In Gilbert, Arizona, very near my house.
How did you know Melanie Gibb?
I met her when I moved into the ward where she lived at.
Okay. And when you say the ward she lived at, are you talking a ward in the Church of the Latter-day Saints?
Yes, it's a boundary. The church boundaries.
Okay. And did you begin to attend services in that ward?
Correct.
Okay. So you went to Ms. Gibbs' house, and did you see the defendant there?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about that first meeting. What happened during that first meeting?
Lori was speaking, and during this meeting, she was giving a testimony that she had had visitations of angels and that she had visitations of the angel Moroni that was giving her instructions. in that she was a personal witness of Jesus Christ.
Okay, let me ask you a couple quick questions. When you say she was giving testimony of the visitation from angels, and specifically the angel Moroni, what did that mean to you?
When someone is getting such visitations from a heavenly being, it would mean that this person has very high spiritual standing, someone who is very righteous, and is just, I guess, above, spiritually above other people.
So during Ms. Vallow's testimony to at the group at Ms. Gibbs' Hope, did you hear anything else? I thought you said something about a witness to Jesus or Jesus Christ.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So that would mean that you actually have a personal conversation, physical conversation with Jesus Christ.
Okay. What significance did that have to you?
That would be the highest spiritual experience that any human being can have.
Okay. Did she say anything else at this first meeting at Ms. Gibbs' home?
She spoke that there were angels that were putting names in the computer for her to do family work in the temple for them.
At this meeting, did you believe her?
Yes.
Okay. And after the meeting, did you proceed to speak with her again?
Yes.
How did that happen?
I got her phone number, and then after that, we took a trip to St. George to go to a conference together.
Okay. So between the time you met at Melanie Gibbs' house and the time you went to, did I hear St. George?
Correct.
And is St. George in Utah?
Yes.
Okay. So between those two time periods, did you have any communication with Ms. Vallow? How'd you set up the trip to St. George?
Through text and calls.
Okay. During the text and the calls, did you develop a friendship with Ms. Vallow?
I think it was an acquaintance at the beginning, and then during the trip to St. George, we drove there and we sat next to each other, and that's when we started talking, and that's where our friendship developed.
Okay. And tell us about the conference at St. George. What was that?
It was a Preparing a People conference.
And what's a Preparing a People conference?
It's conferences where they teach you how to be better prepared for anything that may happen, like a disaster, but as well as preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Okay. And so you went to a Preparing the People conference in St. George, Utah?
Correct.
Okay. And while you guys were in the car, you guys developed you became closer and learned a lot about each other.
Correct.
All right. At the St. George conference in Utah, did you meet anybody you already had known?
Yes. Chad Daybell was there.
Okay. And how had you known Chad Daybell?
There was another Preparing a People conference in Mesa, Arizona in July of 2018, and I had briefly met him there while I purchased a couple of his books.
Okay. So then you saw him again at the St. George Preparing a People Conference.
Correct.
All right. Were you aware of whether Ms. Vallow knew Mr. Daybell prior to that St. George Conference?
As far as I know, she did not know him until then.
Okay. So were you present when they met?
Yes.
Okay. And during that conference, how did the conference proceed for you?
I listened to a lot of the speakers. I looked at some of the table presentations, and I spoke to Chad a couple times as well.
All right. So was Ms. Vallow with you the entire time after she met Chad Daybell?
No, she spent a lot of time at Chad's table.
You were able to observe them together?
Yes, they were talking with each other. And
when you say talking, how did they seem to interact based on your observations?
At first, it was just regular talking, and then it was obvious that Lori was very flirtatious towards him, very giggly, and putting on the moves on him.
Okay. Did you see any interactions about his books with Ms. Daybell or Ms. Vallow at that point?
She said she was going to stay at his table until she was going to sell all his books for him.
And based on your observations, did she stay at his table a lot?
Yes.
Okay. How did the conference end?
We helped Chad pack up his table, and I think he only had perhaps maybe one box left of books. He has sold the rest, and we helped him put all his stuff in his car, and then he left, and then we went to the house where we were staying at.
When you say we, who was in the car?
It was Melanie Gibb, Lori, two other ladies that were the ones that were driving, and I.
Okay. Was Ms. Vallow in the car?
With us, yes.
Okay. Now, during that ride back from Utah to Arizona, were there any conversations with the defendant?
Yes, Lori was driving, and she, Melanie Gibb and I were in the back seat, and she wanted us to look at certain scriptures and then to search the scriptures for who James the Less was.
Okay. Who was James the Less?
He was one of the apostles when Jesus Christ was on the earth.
Okay. Why did she want you to look up who James the Less was?
At the time, I didn't know why she was asking us to do this, but later on, I found out that Chad had shared with her that in a previous life, him and, meaning Chad and Lori, had been married to each other, and during that time, he had been James the Less, and she was his wife, and I believe her name was Elena at the time.
Okay. So that was in a previous life. Make sure I understand. You learned from Ms. Vallow that in a previous, she had been told, in a previous life, Chad was James the Less.
Correct.
And she was his wife, Elena.
Correct.
Okay. But at the car in the car ride back from Utah to Arizona, she just had you looking up James the Less.
Correct.
All right. You said she had you looking up other scriptures or principles. What others did she have you looking up?
She had us look up Doctrine and Covenants 77:11, which speaks about the angel that is going to gather and set apart the 144,000.
144,000?
Yes.
Okay. And I said, what did you say that passage was? I want to make sure I have it correct.
Doctrine and Covenants 77:11.
Okay. And that was a passage about the angel who is going to establish the 144,000 in the last days.
Do I correct. Have that?
Okay. Prior to this conversation in the car where she's asking you to look this passage up, in the text or conversations you'd had with her, had she mentioned the Doctrine and Covenant 77:11?
No.
Okay. Did she tell you why during this trip she wanted you to look at 77:11?
No.
Okay. Did you look it up for her?
Yes.
Okay. Did you read it and discuss it?
Just read it, no discussion.
Okay. Did you talk about any other passages that you can remember in that car ride?
Not that I can remember.
Now, let me ask you, at the conference, were there any photographs taken?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, I'd like to hand to the witness, and I apologize on the exhibit list. I decided to split the two exhibits up. The exhibit list we sent out earlier has this all lumped into 52. We have an updated exhibit list printing for the court, but the exhibit list is would be State's Exhibits 53A, 53B, and 53C, copies of which have been given to both counsel and provided to the court. And I apologize. We'll get you an updated exhibit list, Judge. I meant to do that at the break, and it got away from me.
Okay.
Thank you.
And, Judge, this may be a good time to bring up the fact that we have asked for an exhibit list, and the court has also inquired about the exhibit list, and we have not yet received it from – I know the court brought that up a couple of days ago.
I'm sorry, counsel. You don't have an exhibit list from us? You've been
one
given
that has
one.
Up to.
May we approach, Judge?
No, well, this is a matter we can take up outside the presence of the jury at the conclusion of court today testimony.
Okay, because that's just not true. Okay. May the witness be given those exhibits?
Yes.
Thank you, Judge. Take a look at each of those, please. Okay. Did you look at each of them? We need to hear you.
Yes.
Okay. What are State's Exhibit 53A, 53B, and 53C as a group?
These are pictures that were taken at Preparing the People conferences.
In which Preparing the People conference?
The first two are from the Preparing the People in St. George. And I believe the third one was taken at the Preparing the People in Boise.
Okay. Which you attended?
Correct.
Okay. And do each of those, and there's water available if you need it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are each of those fair and accurate pictures of people who attended the Preparing a People conference, conferences that you've mentioned?
Yes.
Okay. And do they reflect individuals that you've testified about today?
Yes.
Your Honor, I believe it misstates her testimony. She said that she was at a St. George conference, and then she's testifying that these photographs were taken in Boise, which would be a different location.
Well, if I may clean it up, Judge?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do need that.
Okay. Just for now, which ones are the Preparing a People Conference in St. George? Look at the sticker on the back, and if you can give us those numbers.
53C and 53A are from St. George. 53B is from Boise.
Okay. Let's put aside 53B for a minute, and then we'll talk about 53A and C. Do each of those pictures reflect the people who attended and were with you at the St. George Conference of Preparing a People in the fall of 2018?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to move for the admission of 53A and 53C.
Any objection?
No.
All right. Objection. Exhibits 53A and C are both admitted and may be published.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. The witness is getting some water, Judge.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
You also have a screen available to you if you want to look at it. And there's one behind you if either one works better. This is State's Exhibit. Let's start with 53C. Who is that? Who are in those pictures?
In the front, it's me. The lady that is holding my hand is an author. I cannot recall her name. To my left is Melanie Gibb, and to Melanie Gibb's is, I believe her name is Michelle, and she was one of the ladies that was driving to this conference.
Okay. So to make sure I understand, you're here with the dark hair, where my finger is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Melanie Gibb was to your left, this lady right here?
Yes.
Okay. And the lady in the checkered?
Yes.
Michelle?
Michelle. I believe that's her name.
Okay. And the lady holding your hand was the author?
Correct.
Now, let's turn to State's Exhibit 53A. Okay. It's kind of small. See if I can zoom in. I don't know if that makes it blurry or not. No, unfortunately. Well, I think that's as good as we're going to get it. Okay. Hopefully it's clearer on your screen than it is there. Who is in this Estates Exhibit 53C?
On the far right is, standing on the far right, right next to me.
Your Honor, I apologize, but I believe she just said 53C. I think this is 53A.
Oh, I apologize. He's right. Thank you, counsel. 53A.
On the far right, it's me. I'm standing behind Chad Daybells, who's right next to me.
That's you?
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Who's this?
This is Chad Daybell, Melanie Gibb, that's Lori, and I believe her name is Danae, but I'm not very clear on her name.
Okay. And did you meet her at the conference?
Yes, her and her husband were one of the presenters.
Okay. So, after the conference at St. George in the car ride, do you remember anything else the defendant said to you in that car ride back from St. George? I can't hear you.
I don't. I don't remember.
Okay. All right. Do you need some water?
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Okay. Now, when's the next time you had you saw the defendant, Lori Vallow, after the St. George conference?
After the St. George conference, there was another Preparing Our People conference in Mesa, Arizona.
Okay. And how did you get to the conference in Mesa?
I drove by myself.
Okay. Once you got to the Preparing Our People conference in Mesa, who did you meet there?
Chad Daybell was there, and he had a table like he had at the previous conferences. At this time, Lori had been ghosting me, so I hadn't spoken to her for a while. And I went to speak with Chad at his table, and then Lori approached very sweet and invited me to come to her house because she was going to have a small gathering after the conference at her house.
And did you talk to her anymore at the conference? The one in Mesa?
Yes.
What else did she say?
She had she expressed that she had asked Charles to go somewhere so that she could have people stay at her house for the conference.
And did people stay at her house for the conference?
Yes.
Who stayed at her house at the for that conference? To your knowledge.
To my knowledge, it was Audrey, and I don't remember her last name. Serena Sharp was staying at her house. Chad Daybell was staying at her house. And there was an artist that was a presenter at the at the conference also, but I don't remember her name. And she was also staying there.
Okay. What else did she say at the, when you were speaking at the Mesa Preparing Our People conference?
I don't remember.
It's okay. And you, I thought I heard you say something about she invited you to her home after the conference?
Yeah.
Was I right? Did I hear that?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Tell us about that.
I was having a really rough day that day, and while I was talking with Chad, she came and asked me to come to her house to the gathering at her house, and I wasn't going to go at first, but Chad told me that he really wanted me to go and meet them there because he said he wanted to give me a blessing.
Okay, and we've heard a bit about blessing, but what's to you and in your faith, what is a blessing?
A priesthood blessing means that someone who holds the priesthood in our church is prepared to receive inspiration or certain words or comfort, words of comfort or words of encouragement or whatever it may be that that person is needing at the time, and convey it to the person through the laying of the hands, and give that person what they need at the time through a blessing.
And so at the Mesa Preparing of People conference, Chad Daybell said he would give you a blessing if you went to Lori Vallow's home.
Correct.
Okay. Did you end up going to Lori Vallow's home?
Yes.
Okay. When you got to her home after the Mesa Preparing of People conference, who was there that you could remember?
So the people that I previously mentioned, Audrey, Serena, Chad Daybell, and the artist that was there, and Alex Cox was there as well.
Okay. Now, who is Alex Cox?
He was Lori's brother, and then he later became my husband.
Okay. And prior to this meeting at Lori's home, had you met Alex?
No, this is the day I met him.
Okay. So what was going on at the home?
Everybody was just visiting and talking with each other, and then Lori, Chad, and I went outside to the backyard, and we talked there for a little while, and
okay. What did you talk about?
I don't remember what we were talking about. I just remember her. She was playing basketball and asked Chad to play basketball with her. And I felt a little awkward.
Why?
I felt like a third wheel. Because of, I think Laura, the way that I saw it was that Lori was being flirtatious with him, and it made me feel uncomfortable, so I decided to go inside. And Chad said that he was going to go inside with me as well, and Lori made a comment of the likes, why are you scared of me? And then they stayed outside for a little longer.
Okay. Now, you had said Chad had offered to give you a blessing. Did he, Chad, give you a blessing at Lori Vallow's house?
Yes. After they came back inside, Lori took me to, to a separate part of the house, a room separate from where everybody else was at, and Chad said he was going to give me a blessing, and he gave me a blessing that night.
Okay. Do you remember what the blessing entailed?
Yes, he said that I was a very special person, that I was a very special being, and that I that I was going to do some amazing things in the future, and that he was, I guess, grateful to know me, and it was full of a lot of praise.
And Lori was present?
Yes.
Okay. Was anyone else present?
No.
Okay. Now, this meeting at Lori's home, was this after the St. George conference?
Yes.
Was it in the fall, or was it before Christmas?
It was before Christmas.
Okay. Did you have contact with Lori or Chad again that fall or before Christmas?
I may have, but I don't remember it too clearly.
Did you ever see Melanie Gibb during this time?
We attended the same ward, so we would see each other every Sunday.
Okay. Did you go to her house at all that fall?
It's possible because we were good friends, so we used to visit each other a lot.
Okay. Did you attend, was there a meeting of Chad and Lori and you at Melanie Gibb's home?
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Chad had come down to do a podcast with Lori and Melanie Gibb. They had started a podcast, and he came to be one of the guests at their podcast.
And while you were there, did you talk to Chad and Lori?
Yes. Chad invited me to... he wanted us to go to lunch. He said he had some information to give me, and he really wanted me to meet them for lunch.
Okay. And did you do that?
Yes.
Okay. Where did you go to lunch?
We went to a restaurant called Firebirds in Gilbert, Arizona.
What happened at the restaurant at Gilbert, at Firebirds?
Chad said that, excuse me, Chad said that he had some information to give me about my prior lives and privations, and he really wanted to speak with me in regards to that.
Okay. Who was present at this lunch?
Melanie Gibb, Lori Vallow, and Chad Daybill.
Okay. So what did he tell you about at the lunch at Firebirds?
He was trying to tell me what the information, he was trying to give me the information, but for some reason, Chad and Lori didn't want Melanie to hear what he was going to tell me. So he just told me what kind of information he was going to give me, and then he called me to tell me what my prior lives had been. And in this conversation, he told me that there was a way that he rated people, whether they were light or dark. And so he gave me a rating how light I was. And then he told me that I had come, that I had other lives on this earth, and he gave me the times and who I was on the prior lives that I had lived on this earth.
Now, during that conversation of the light and dark, did he give light and dark to anyone else, or was this conversation solely about you?
During this conversation, it was only about me.
And did he go into detail about what he said were your prior lives?
Yes.
Okay. Did he talk about any of your prior lives in terms of how you passed away in that conversation?
He said that, I believe it was the second time, excuse me. I believe it was the second time that I had come to the earth. He said that I was, give me a moment. My thoughts just got really jumbled. He told me that I had was I had been Lori's daughter, and during that probation or during that time that I, or during that life, that I had been killed at a very young age, at age 14, that I had been raped. And then that my body had been dismembered by the Lamanites, and I was killed at the same time that Lori was when she was my mother during that life.
And was Melanie Gibb there when you were told this?
No.
Okay. Had she left the lunch, or was this at Fireside or Firebird? I'm sorry.
During the lunch at Firebird, he told me that what he wanted to tell me, but then during a phone call was when he gave me the details.
Okay. And that phone call followed up on the lunch after Firebird?
Oh, correct.
Okay. Was there anything else discussed at that lunch at Firebird's?
Not that I can remember.
Okay. When was the next time that you can remember that you had contact with Lori Vallow?
It had been a little while since I had spoken to her. I had sent her some text, and she wasn't answering me again, so I hadn't talked to her for a little while, and then she invited me to meet her for lunch.
Okay. Where did you go to lunch?
At the same restaurant, Firebird's in Gilbert.
Okay. What happened at the lunch at Firebird's at Firebird's in Gilbert, Arizona?
During this lunch, Lori made a diagram of how different creations are created and how many worlds there are and how many privations one person can have and how people are either light or dark. And she made a diagram and showed how people progress towards lightness or towards darkness.
And did she say how she knew this stuff? How did she know about light and dark? Or did she tell you at that lunch?
I don't believe that she said how she was finding this information. I guess just assumed that it was coming from Chad since he was the one that had given me my rating, or I don't even know what to call it. I guess like rating of light or dark.
Is it kind of like a scale?
Yeah, like a scale, yes.
Okay. And he had previously given you a rating on the light scale or on the dark scale?
Correct.
Okay. And then you were hearing similar things at this lunch with Lori?
Correct.
Who was at the lunch?
It was Lori, Val, Melanie Gibb, and I.
Okay. And forgive me, did she put you on the light scale or the dark scale? I don't remember.
In the light scale.
Okay. And were there sort of levels of light or levels in dark on each scale?
Yes.
Okay. What was your level, if you remember? Were you high or low?
4.2 or something like that.
Okay.
I think that was...
Was that a high number or a low number?
It was fairly high.
Okay. Did she tell you where she was on the scale?
Yes, I believe that she said she was at 4.3.
Okay. And so during this lunch at Firebirds, did she talk about anything, any other ideas involving light or dark or spirits?
During this lunch, she said that Charles Vala, her husband, had been possessed by a dark spirit or demon.
And did was she able to identify for you the name of that demon or dark spirit?
Yes, I believe that she named him Garrett.
Okay. And did she talk anything about, you know, helping Charles at all with this situation?
She expressed how different he was. He was acting different. He was more organized than he was before, that he was a completely different person, that he even looked like he was shorter than he was before. That this evil spirit had been following him for a couple of years so that he could learn everything about him and then now had possessed him.
Okay. Now, was this near the time that you had, you know, before Christmas or after Christmas?
After Christmas.
Okay. Was it winter out or spring out?
I believe this was around February.
Of 2019 now?
2019.
Okay. And why do you think it was February of 2019?
If I remember correctly, that's what... there was a receipt from that lunch. And I kept the receipt because that's where Lori had made the diagram, and I had taken it home with me. And if I'm not mistaken, that's what the date on that receipt says.
Okay. So, and we'll get the copies of the receipt in a little bit. Let's get through testimony, and then we'll do evidence, okay?
Okay.
All right, because you took that receipt and turned it over to law enforcement?
Correct.
Okay. So February of 2019... it's at that lunch, and she's talking to you about light and dark. Is that right?
Yes.
She's talking to you about the demon in Charles.
Yes.
Prior to this time, had she talked to you about any concerns or problems she had had with Charles or in her marriage?
When we were at the Preparing of People in St. George, she had expressed that she had that her and Charles were having some financial difficulties, and at that time, while we were there, she said that she had been the beneficiary of Joseph Ryan's life insurance. That was a prior, one of her prior husbands, and that she had received I believe it was $60,000 from that life insurance.
Okay. And Mr. Ryan, was he the father of Tylee?
Correct.
Okay.
Your Honor, I think we're getting into impermissible testimony regarding 404B. I think we talked about that.
I'm not going there, Judge.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
I'll withdraw the objection.
I'm not going there. Did she say what she... Do you need a minute? I see you with a tissue.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. Do you need a minute, or are you okay?
Can I take just a second?
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. So Ms. Vowell was talking about money problems and that she'd come into some money to help with those problems.
Correct.
Okay. And so she had mentioned this before, the money problems. Did she mention any other financial concerns prior to that lunch you had in February? Had she talked to you about it at all?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So then we're at the lunch where she's talked about light and dark, and she talks about Charles's situation with Garrett. What did she say anything else about Charles and the dark spirit?
She said that she didn't know at first that he was that he had been changed, or he was that he had been possessed by a demon, and that she had slept with him twice, not knowing that he was possessed.
Okay. Did she say that there was any way to help him or deal with the demon?
Not at this time.
Okay. Did she ever talk to you about a way to help or deal with the demon?
Yes.
What did she say? I'm sorry. When did she say it? Let's do it that way. When did she say that?
Towards the end of March, Laurie said that she wanted a group of us girls to meet and get together because she had some things to show us and teach us, and we had a meeting at my house. I believe it was late March because it was right before general conference for the church.
Okay. And typically, when is general conference for the LDS church?
In the first weekend of April.
Okay. And so the meeting get together at your home was right before general conference in March?
Correct.
Okay. So who was at your house?
It was Nicole, Christina, Serena, Melanie Gibb, and I.
Was Lori there?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I'm just asking. So when people got to your house, what happened when people got to your home?
Everyone was staying at my house except for Nicole and Christina. And Lori said that she wanted to teach us something. So I brought out a whiteboard, and on this board she did the same diagram that she had done at the restaurant, and she thought that there was multiple probations and again the scale on people being light or dark.
Okay. What else happened?
During this time, she also gave me a sticky note with my prior lives, and I believe she did that to the other girls that were there as well. She also said that we needed to cast out the demon from Charles and asked us to do a casting on him.
Okay. Was that the first time you'd ever heard of a casting?
I had read about it in the scriptures in the New Testament when Jesus cast out evil spirits, but in a personal way, yes, that was the first time.
Okay. Did Lori talk to you about a method or a tool to do a casting? A way to do a casting.
She said that we had to be holding hands and in a circle, and each of the participants would have different part to say or do in order to complete it.
Okay. And so who assigned the roles in the casting?
Lori.
Who told people what tools or powers they were to use?
Lori.
Okay. So what tools or energy did she ask you to use?
Fire.
Okay. So how did the casting proceed? How did it happen?
Each person would say their part, and then she would finish it by doing a sealing of the casting.
Okay. What did that mean?
I'm not sure how to explain it, but a sealing would be like to make it concrete or make it final or make it valid, or not sure if I'm explaining it correctly.
To kind of finish it and give it some authority?
Correct. Yeah. Like that.
Okay. So, and who was the casting on?
This time was to cast out Garrett that had, that Lori had said that Charles had been possessed by.
And during this conversation about Charles being possessed, did she talk about any of the troubles she had with Charles?
I believe that it was, I want to go back to the luncheon that we had with Melanie Gibb and Lori at Firebirds, because I believe that that's when she explained that Sorry, my memory is a little fuzzy at times. It's been so long. She had explained that they had been arguing, and that by March they had separated because from that meeting she was coming from Hawaii, and she had related that she had taken his pickup away from him and his keys away from him and all of his stuff away from him.
Did she say why she took all those things away from Charles? Because they were separated, but she took all these things from him. Did she say why?
I believe this was during the process of them separating. I asked why not just leave him? Why take all his stuff and go through all this trouble of taking keys and clothes and cars? And she said she was being instructed to do this.
And so she had shared this situation with Charles and the separation with you. And was that before the casting or during the casting on Charles?
Before.
Okay. And so then going into the casting, this information had been given to you and maybe others in the group.
I know Melanie Gibb knew that information, and
So
give me a second.
Sure.
I believe that the other girls in that meeting also knew that they were separated by this time. Because she was telling everyone that she had been in Hawaii and not living at the house with Charles. Okay. So yes.
So that information, that conversation and information she had was in people's mind going into the casting on Charles?
Yes.
Okay. During this meeting at your house, did you all believe her that what you were doing had value?
Yes.
Okay. You say that very certainly. Why?
Lori is very convincing, vivacious way of expressing things, are very charming and believing, plus the fact that she had expressed before that she had been visited by all these heavenly beings. Therefore, if someone is telling the truth about that, I wouldn't be questioning them. I would be believing they're telling the truth, because I would never think that someone would lie about something as sacred as that.
Were there pictures taken that night at your home?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to show have the bailiff show that provide the witness State's Exhibit 52A and 52B.
And on a housekeeping matter, Ms. Smith, on the prior set of three photos, I think two of the three were admitted and not the third. Is that correct?
Correct. We'll get circle back on that, Judge.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay. Do you recognize 52A and 52B?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What are 52A and 52B?
52A is a picture of, this is in my house in Gilbert, Arizona. And this picture on the right side is me in the middle.
Can I, we'll have you describe it again in a minute. Can you just, the picture's taken at your house that night?
Yes.
Okay. And do they reflect some of the people who were there at your house?
Yes.
Move for the admission of states 52A and B.
Any objection?
No objection.
All right. States exhibits 52A and B have both been admitted and can be published.
Thank you. Let's start with 52B. Now you can tell us. This way you only have to tell us once.
Okay.
What are we looking at in states 52B?
We'll start on the left. On the left is Melanie Gibb. In the middle is Serena Sharp. And then on the right-hand side is me.
Okay. And what are we looking at states 52A?
On the left-hand side is Serena, in the middle is Melanie Gibb, and on the right-hand side it's me.
Is this the first time that you had done a casting or participated in anything like that?
Yes.
Okay. Did the conversation about casting come up again?
Yes.
Okay. Was there another casting done?
Yes.
Okay. When was that, or where was that, if that's easier?
It was also at my house.
Okay. How soon after the first effort in March was there another casting?
I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was after March.
Okay. Who was the casting on?
Let me back up a little.
Objection, non-responsive.
It's all right.
There's more to come to segments number 3 and 4, day 5 of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell in our continuous coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.